B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Yo, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon and welcome to Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida for this week two encounter of the 1-0 New England Patriots and the 0-1 Miami Dolphins.
I play great 60 minutes of football. It's a division game on the road early in the season, so it means a lot.
I don't mind you coming here, wasting all my time.
Brady under center, motion right to left, out of the eye.
When you're standing oh so
Brady
near.
Takes the snap, turns, gives to Michelle, up the middle, dives. Touchdown, Patriots!
Comes Antonio Brown. First snap as a Patriot. Play number two.
Brady takes the snap. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder.
Yeah!
Brown! Touchdown, Patriots. Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid. What a throw by the quarterback to the back shoulder.
I guess you're just what I need. Just what I need. I needed someone to feed.
Brady's going
to
sneak it. He's going to dive straight ahead.
I guess you're just what I need. Just what I need.
It's a touchdown, Patriots.
There you go.
It's simple, adding to the score. Now Fitzpatrick, third and two, rolling right, and he throws in traffic, intercepted, picked off by Gilmore, who is gone. Right down the middle, 25-20, goodbye to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
You could credit
six.
You could credit Cal Van Noy for getting this going.
Captain snap, Fitzpatrick dropping back at first and 10. Throws cross middle, catch. By Balazs, no, he fumbled into the hands of Collins, who runs down the right sideline. One man to beat a lineman. He runs to the 10. He beats him to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots!
What a heads-up play by Jamie Collins. Miami can't even function at this point.
Up screens to James White, wide at the 10. Nobody there. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Booyah!
James White with his 20th career touchdown reception.
I know it's early. I know it's week two. Man, this is a home game. I've never seen anything like this.
Take me home tonight. I don't want to let you go to sleep.
Blitz coming. With contact. Picked off by Collins. And he's going to roll. 10-yard line, pop back to his feet, and in fact the whistles will sound, and that will be the end. Jamie Collins with the second interception of the day, and a fitting note on which to end this 43-0 rout for the Patriots of the Dolphins here in South Florida.
Ah, Boston, you're my home. I'm the Money Man, and you're listening to Money in the Mornings.
Everybody, good morning, and we are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call, 617-779-0985. And the money man did die, passed away at age 70. Was that Friday?
Yeah, it was Friday, right after the show was announced.
And 5 minutes.
Was, yeah.
After we finished.
Yeah, he died on Friday, and it's been something, I guess, like for the last 3 weeks, I think, is when we first heard that he was in bad shape. So he's been kind of fighting it. Was it stomach cancer? It was something like that. It was something like really, really bad. Pancreatic cancer? Okay. Sure. Yeah, it was like stage four. But, I mean, it'd been the last 3 weeks he'd been fighting. And then yesterday, or Friday, rather, was when they finally made the announcement. So the money man no longer with us. The Rick Ocasek one, that was announced last night, and he was found dead in his apartment.
I haven't found out what the... Rick Ocasek is dead?
Yeah, it's where we just played the Cards thing. Yeah, he died last night.
Well, I don't know why he played the Cards thing. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Rick Ocasek died 75.
He died last night, and they found him in his apartment. I don't think that they've come out and said what it is yet.
No.
Not yet.
But it's kind of weird. So last night I was reading a little bit about, you know, some of the articles that came out. And the one thing that I didn't realize, I knew that he had, like, that studio that was in Boston. But what I didn't realize were some of the albums that were recorded there. So he had this album, I think it was a studio called Synchro Sound. And if you're on Newberry Street, you know where Sonzi is? Right there near the end, close to Mass Ave? Right across the street. And, like, down these stairs, I think there's a liquor store there now. That was where his studio was. And it was kind of hush-hush. Like, not a lot of people knew that this is where they recorded a bunch of their stuff. But the albums that they knocked out there, like, Iggy Pop did some stuff there. Ministry did an album there. But the most shocking one was Pretty Hate Machine by Nine Inch Nails was recorded on Boylston Street. Head Like a Hole, that song was done right by the Prudential, which is strange. And then they did, like, not Heartbeat City, because Heartbeat City was done in London. But I think they did the second Cars album there. And I believe, what was that one called? Candio. Yeah, I think Candio was done there, and then another one. But then when Heartbeat City came out, and they had a million hits off of that, that was Mutt Lang of Def Leppard and Foreigner fame that essentially made those mega hits for them.
So we're not doing a tribute. Rich doesn't want to do a tribute to Eddie Money today.
I didn't say I didn't want to do a tribute. I just said I don't want to do the eating a shoe stuff this morning.
Why not?
You want to do it? You can do it.
You think you're stepping on Eddie Money's grave?
No, it's just Fred, do you want to do it, Fred?
I don't care.
I'm thinking an Eddie Money eulogy to himself would be kind of interesting.
Well, I've not prepared that.
Oh.
I just had a million listeners go, on Monday, I want to hear a tribute to Eddie Money. But then again, there is a lot to talk about yesterday's game. It's a real humdinger. No,
I think, well.
Actually, yesterday's game was entertaining.
Up to a point. And then it just became sad.
Well, no, the fourth quarter was good, too, because then it became, like, when Rosen went in, that was pretty funny.
Which was about three quarters too late.
Yeah, it was.
I for the life of me, I can't figure out why they're not playing Rosen. And
Rosen had about two bombs in a row that were perfectly
thrown.
That were dropped.
I mean, yes.
Dropped. I mean, they were perfect.
Kid's got the skills. He's obviously got the arm. I mean, I don't understand what Flores is waiting for. And Flores actually said after the game that as of right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still his starting quarterback. But he'll evaluate that as the week goes along. You watch 5 minutes of that game. They're not playing for him. And Fitzpatrick all of a sudden looks old.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the arm strength. He doesn't have whatever he has. At least what I saw, the Patriots defense had something to do with that. But he doesn't have whatever he's had in the past that will let him go off for a month. He doesn't even have that anymore.
No, I mean, he's played a lot of football.
There's no reason for him to be there. If Miami starts Rosen and he can't do it, great. You finish 2-14, you get Tua Tagovailoa. If he can do it, great. You don't need Tua, and you can get a top 10 pick to get something else you need. I mean, it's a no-lose situation. I don't understand why you don't play the kid.
No, I don't know either. It's like Flores is the one guy that doesn't get what they're trying to do. Which is lose.
Yes.
And he's like, and if you're afraid to lose the team right now, who cares?
They've been embarrassed. They've almost given up 100 points in the first two games and scored three.
They have given up 100 points.
It's 59, yeah, not 49.
It was 59 and 43, yeah. So they've given up
102. Yeah.
And they've scored 10.
Yeah.
They did seven last week.
They're not good.
I'm sorry, they did 10 last week. Yeah, yes. Yeah,
so they're not good.
No.
They're not good. They have a chance to be historically bad.
They're one of the worst teams I've seen put on an NFL field. Like, I mean, and I remember the 0-16 Lions. Yeah. They were bad. It was Dan Orlovsky, right?
Yep.
Wasn't that the quarterback?
Ran out of the end zone, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bad team. But, I mean, when Rosen goes out there and just completes two perfect passes, and there were a couple with Fitzpatrick, too, that just were right in the hands of the receivers. I mean, the receiving core is just absolutely atrocious.
They had two plays of 10 yards or more in the first three quarters. I mean, that's insanely bad. And give the Dolphins credit, they set it up to be this way, and they're following through. But I you've done everything but the quarterback. Put the quarterback out there. You can't do any more damage to his psyche. Put the quarterback out there.
I also think, Fred, that, you know, you're saying that Flores is or maybe it was you, John, said Flores is the only one who's not keyed into what they're trying to
Fred
do.
Fred just said that.
And
he's
that
right.
And to that I say, I think he is. That's why they're starting Fitzmagic instead of Josh Rosen.
I said he's the only one who doesn't get it. Like that they want to lose.
Well, no, no. If I think at that the if they wanted to lose,
no,
you put Fitzpatrick.
No, no, at the no. beginning, you're, yeah. And I agree with that, you think Fitzpatrick is the better quarterback.
No, no,
based
no, no.
on his past record,
no.
you play Fitzpatrick because
I'm
he
saying,
can light it up.
I'm saying Rosen's the better quarterback. And if he wanted to lose, he's doing it right.
Well, no, no, no. You don't know that. I think in the first 2 weeks now it's become obvious Rosen's the better quarterback. But at the beginning of the season, I assumed Fitzpatrick was the better quarterback. He's got veteran. He's a veteran. He's been around a lot, and he's shown a penchant to really get hot and, you know, throw four touchdown passes 1 week, but then throw four interceptions the next week.
Well, if he,
but he could steal, in theory, he could steal you two or three wins here and then knock you out of that prime position to get the quarterback that you need. That's right. The mistake. But now it's obvious Rosen, whether or not he is ready, is the better quarterback. And you have to find out. You have to find out how much better he is.
Yeah, and if next week they start Rosen, I think that then I'll say, yeah, Flores is the one guy who doesn't want to lose. Because, I mean, now, as you said, it's completely obvious. I mean, Rosen went in there and did a pretty damn good job for the talent that's surrounding him.
He was 7 of 18 with a couple of drops, but he wasn't nearly
huge
as good as
huge drops.
Thought. Yes.
Huge.
There was one touchdown pass that was dropped. Yes.
And there was one that was like a 40-yarder.
Yes. He's obviously got a better arm. He's obviously physically, he's not Kyler Murray out there. He's a tall guy. I mean, he can take a hit.
He always looks like he just smelled a fart.
Maybe.
He's got that face. Like,
maybe.
You want to be there. He's like,
The great gazoo out there. All right. What's coming up, Rich? I can't. Let's do 4 hours on that game.
Well, let's get to some of the stuff that happened in the locker room afterwards, including a no-show from Antonio Brown. Not during the game, but afterwards.
All right, we'll have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sub. Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
In 5, the Sports Hub, Rich, what happened last evening?
You know, at the end of the season, we might look at this game as the 16-0 versus the 0-16.
Out of the eye, Devlin in front of Michelle. Brady takes the snap, turns, gives to Michelle, up the middle, touchdown. Dive. Touchdown, Patriots!
Perfect, perfect start to this football game.
And it just kept on going. The Patriots had lost 5 of the last 6 road games against Miami. Not this year, not this team. An absolute bludgeoning from the word go. 43-0, the final score, with points even left on the board. Headline number 1, however, on this route, A.B. was there, A.B. played, and A.B. made an impact.
Brady takes the snap and retreats. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder. Yeah! Brown! Touchdown, Patriots! Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid. What a throw by the quarterback to the back shoulder.
Yep, Antonio Brown goes 4-for-4 with a TD to start, but then things get a little loose with him after that with Tom Brady and went 0-for following that touchdown. Good news was that he didn't need to be the star against Miami.
Out of the eye, Brady's going to sneak it. He's going to dive straight ahead. It's a touchdown, Patriots.
There you go.
Kept it simple, adding to the score.
How teams are still fooled by the Tom Brady quarterback sneak after all these years is astounding to me.
I don't think they're fooled. I just think he gets so low that there's not much you can do about
it. Anytime they don't have a guy over the center, it's done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anytime. And that's how can you not do that on the goal line of all places?
Well, it was offense.
I'm going to leave this big gap here. Feel free to run right through it for a touchdown.
And by the way, every time that happens, isn't there part of you that like tenses up and goes, ooh, please be okay?
I don't know. Sometimes. I mean, we saw Baltimore in particular. Who was it? Ray Lewis that speared him in the back when he went over the top?
I remember that.
I didn't think that was going to happen yesterday.
Well, offense everywhere. Passing game, running game, well, offense everywhere except for with this guy.
Cardona snaps to Bailey. The kick by Gostkowski angled to the left upright, and it's no good.
What are we doing?
A repeat of a year ago. Missed field goal try followed by a failed PAT.
Yeah, not only did Gostkowski miss that one, but he also missed two extra points, which is troublesome. But no worries, they'd score points elsewhere.
Now Fitzpatrick on third and two, rolling right, and he throws in traffic, intercepted, picked off by Gilmore, who is gone. Right down the middle, 25-20, goodbye, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
You could credit Cal Van Noy for getting this going. He absolutely blows up the chip man on the end that Fitzpatrick tries to get the ball back inside to. Amazing play by Gilmore.
Well, that was awesome. Stephon Gilmore capitalizes on a just ridiculously poorly thought out pass from Ryan Fitzpatrick. Gilmore runs it all the way back, no problem. And just when you thought the nightmare was over,
shotgun snap, Fitzpatrick dropping back at first and 10. He throws across the middle, catch by Balazs. No, he followed it into the hands of Collins, who runs down the right sideline. One man to beat a lineman. He runs to the 10. He beats him to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots!
What a play. What a heads-up play by Jamie Collins. I mean, Miami can't even function at this point. What an embarrassment. This team's going to be bad for a long time.
Jamie Collins, 69 yards. Nice. And to add insult to injury, the offense says...
Stole that from Ian Eagle. I don't think I don't recognize that.
He did pull one of those.
He did. That was last week. Yeah. Yep.
His eyebrows going up and down.
Yep. Nice.
I just want you to know, tip of the cap to you, sir.
That's got a different term now.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Fred has completely changed the meaning of that one.
My fault.
So just, you know, I salute you.
This is not the time to use
it. I salute you, sir.
That's better.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it got utterly ridiculous because to add insult to injury, the offense was like, hey, I know we're up by 37, but Tom Brady's still going to come here and kick you in the Johnson. And he did. They drove down the field and scored once again, 43 points. 0 points allowed. That is three straight games, including the Super Bowl, that the Pats defense has not allowed a touchdown.
Yeah, see, so much for not wanting to embarrass his former assistant.
The first thing I thought of, he stepped on Flores' throat and then just kicked him. It was great.
Well, I mean, Jeff Howe, I think, said afterwards that he had heard that the message the entire week was we played for 59 minutes and 53 seconds of the last time we were down in Miami, and we are going to play all 60 minutes, no question.
Okay, fine. If you're up 37-0, there's really no reason for it. I watched that game. The Patriots are up 37 points and go shotgun and throw passes down the field. Mm-hmm. At the end of the game, they're up 43-0. Miami is, you know, driving down the field. 10 seconds left in the game. Belichick calls a timeout with Miami at the Patriot 10-yard line to set his defense to make sure Miami does not score and ruin the shutout. This is 2007 stuff. This is F you. We're throwing deep, up five touchdowns. It's that part of it. Well, a lot of these games coming up, because the Patriots aren't really going to be challenged. They have the Jets and Washington now. The Patriots, on paper, are not going to be challenged for the first half of the season.
Yeah, we talked about
These are the things to watch for, because Belichick is making very sure that he embarrasses teams. And it's happened the first 2 weeks. They embarrassed Pittsburgh on national TV. They embarrassed Miami yesterday. They should embarrass the Jets, although the Jet defense will probably keep it a lot closer.
I don't know. C.J. Mosley was hurt.
That's right. Mosley was hurt yesterday.
Do you know what the spread is next week?
No.
17 and a half.
I'm sure it is. It's in Foxborough. I'm not surprised.
And
but
Trevor Siemian is their quarterback.
That's right.
And
Simeon's the quarterback. So maybe it is going to be an embarrassment. But in the end, Belichick smells blood. This is one of those years where he knows his team is loaded everywhere, and he will do everything he can to embarrass everyone. And I think that part of it is going to be great to watch.
Isn't it also kind of a pattern that when the team is mired in some sort of controversy, they kind of hold no prison, that, you know, they spare no, they just completely go scorched earth on whoever.
Yeah, the year after Spygate, they embarrassed everybody. That's what they do. Yes.
So, Fred, by the way, the best part of the broadcast, CBS finally got rid of the chirp. Hallelujah. And I noticed it immediately. They would go to replay, no chirp.
The chirp was, they really didn't think much of the audience. That they couldn't, they believed the audience couldn't distinct I don't know if they couldn't think it was a replay or if it was live.
You had to have that weird sound.
It had to have that sound.
It sounded like a mouse was loose in your house.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what I was trying to say.
Well, yep, it's gone. Thank goodness. So here's Bill Belichick on Antonio Brown's first game.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it on the film. I mean, it's 1 week. There's a lot of things we can work on. But it's good to have him out there.
I mean, you watched it. I mean,
they forced him the ball in the beginning, too.
Yes.
They forced him the ball in the, in, yes. after that, too, yes. like after his touchdown. I mean, they said, we are going to get this guy involved immediately.
Yeah.
And I wonder if those missed passes, you know, because it looked like they weren't on the same page, you wonder whether it was, you know, the freelancing that everyone's been talking about with Antonio Brown. Like, you know, the first couple ones, he was, you know, they, you almost couldn't miss it.
I don't think that happens week one. I think maybe he gets more comfortable and then starts freelancing.
Well, possibly. All I know is that Ben Volen asked whether they tried to get the ball to Brown, as you said, Fred. And Bill seemed to really like that question.
It seemed like
y'all left
early, especially the first drive.
No, we run the offense. Try to throw the ball to guys open, Ben. I haven't changed that in 20 years.
Right. Oh, man.
The lovely guy.
That deserves a...
Now go home and get your shine box.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, according to Ben Volen, before the media was allowed in the locker room, Antonio Brown had left. His locker cleared out, and his nameplate was taken down. Cool, man. Apparently, that was after Stacey James, the PR person for the Patriots, had informed the press that, of course, he'd be available. And as a matter of fact, it's required that this is a finable thing. But I don't think that the Patriots really care.
No,
fine.
I think that they probably were quite happy with his decision to not be in the locker room after the game.
So, as far as Antonio Brown's situation, a report came out this weekend saying that Robert Kraft had no idea about Antonio Brown's deal with his sexual accuser, and if he did, he wouldn't have signed him. To that I say, well, then cut him. Honestly, if you felt that way, why wouldn't you cut him? The only thing that's changed between then and now is the money that you paid him. So what you're saying is that by not cutting him, if that's truly what you believe, is that you're putting money above your morals. I saw that report, and first of all, you kind of roll your eyes. And second, just like, well, then get rid of the guy. If you truly believe you don't want him on your team, and that changes everything, cut him from the team. But he's still here.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yep, and there's also reports that his accuser in the civil lawsuit, Brittany Taylor, she is slated to meet with league investigators today. Word is that Antonio Brown chose not to sign a settlement agreement of approximately $2 million with his accuser because he, quote-unquote, wants to fight the claims and clear his name.
He was also having talks with her lawyers since, what, April?
Yeah, yeah. So that's one thing that they added, and it finally got to $2 million. And he was like, no. So according to the Globe, Brown wasn't aware that last Sunday was a hard deadline. And there have been apparently several other offers and deadlines throughout the months of negotiation. And he also didn't know the civil lawsuit would be coming last week. And he found out about on Twitter via article in the New York Times. So that's how he was informed that everything was now public. And there's a lot of speculation as to what's going to happen this week. And a writer for USA Today tweeted before yesterday's game, quote, I watched a 5-minute pregame meeting on the field, documented on TV, between Patriots owner Robert Kraft, his son Jonathan Kraft, and agent Drew Rosenhaus. Robert did most of the talking. He said, gotta believe Kraft advised Rosenhaus to settle the suit and get a non-disclosure cause. And to that, Michael McCann on Twitter last night added, if later tonight or tomorrow morning, Brown and Brittany Taylor reach a financial settlement to her lawsuit, the settlement would almost certainly contain a non-disclosure,
right,
whereby neither could talk about the situation. She would then cancel her meeting with the NFL.
They can't talk about the situation. He's out of jail.
Yeah, he is, from Jersey Shore.
Yeah, he's the inspiration.
Is that his new nickname?
Yeah!
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, so yeah, they would sign a non-disclosure.
And then it's very convenient because they can say, well, I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Right, exactly.
If that's the case.
Right.
But if he truly wants to fight this and says that it's to clear his name, then he wouldn't do that.
I have a feeling if they settle and there's a non-disclosure, people are going to forget about this. It's one of those things.
I've told you, Fred, for the longest time, they're so good at riding the storm out. Nobody cares about these things. You know, it's you go in, you start winning games. The next controversy comes out and people get outraged about that, and then it's done. Now, this one never got to a criminal level. It was never a point where she went to the police. So it's a little bit different than some of the other ones that got these guys on the commissioner's exempt list.
Right, right.
So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen today? There's a pretty good chance that all of this gets settled before she's supposed to sit down. Because what the NFL is going to do is they're going to say, what do you got? Do you got videos? Because we do not want this to take us by surprise. We don't want to be sitting here and all of a sudden, you know, have him continue to play and all of a sudden get a Ray Rice situation where there's a videotape of something awful that he did.
Yeah, it's interesting because if he was willing, there's two ways to look at it. If he was willing to sit down with her and negotiate a payment, it could be just he wanted to get out of the way, get this out of the way
right.
and over with.
Sure.
Or she has something.
Well, I thought if she had something, I think that she would have put it in this thing, and she has those texts, which by the way are awful, and it shows that he's not a very good he's not a good human. It seems like just from the texts alone, whether or not he raped somebody is completely doesn't prove anything.
Well, see, people say those texts prove that he masturbated in back of her and you know the rest of it, but I don't know if he says he did it.
No. I just the way he's talking to a woman.
But some people, I've heard analysts say that he admits that.
No, that he raped her?
That he masturbated and climaxed on her.
I thought it was pretty clear by reading those texts that he did admit to doing
that. Oh,
really?
Okay.
Really clear.
Okay.
He says, I blanked. You know, I mean, he says it.
I don't know. I can't understand anything in that text.
Yeah, well.
It's very difficult for me. I apologize for not knowing exactly what he's talking about. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Great news for Bruins fans.
Looks like they
finally locked up somebody, and I think both sides should be happy.
With money to spare. All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports. Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. One thing I can tell you is Antonio Brown not afraid of Instagram. He was going bonkers last night.
Nothing funny, though. Just like him hugging his family.
No, but him, you know, they manipulated the photos so he looked almost godlike. Yes, he just loves Instagram and painting himself as otherworldly.
It's a long way from business is booming as a cartoon character covered in dollar bills when he got signed to the Patriots. He's been fairly well behaved on the Instagram side of things.
Well, yeah, but if I'm the Patriots, I'm thinking, okay, these are nice, but he's on there. You never know what could go on. I do want to see him in a bathtub full of real money, like a real picture of him. Just in a bathtub filled with cash. He has the cash to do it. Didn't he get robbed of like $50,000 in cash?
Oh, that he had in his home?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? I didn't know if it was money or jewelry.
I think
forget.
It was both.
Okay.
Because I remember us saying, why the hell would you have that kind of cash in your house?
I have no idea. Who was the player who didn't... Oh, it was Ricky Henderson, right? Who, like, framed his,
yes.
like, a million-dollar check or something like that?
Yeah. And
never cashed it.
Right. And he never cashed his per diems. And so when his kids did something good, he would give them the per diem that he had gotten. So you're just a folder for full of per diems.
Yeah, well, good for him. Well, somebody who's also in the money, the Bruins, and Charlie McAvoy have finally struck a deal, and it looks like both sides have won.
Obviously, we're very pleased to announce that Charlie's agreed to a 3-year contract. You know, I think I've said all along that the communication with the org group, in particular with Mike and with Rick, has been outstanding. It's been a long period of time that we've had discussions. Every negotiation has its own timeline. We felt very comfortable that we eventually would find the common ground. We're fortunate that Charlie agrees and his group agrees. and excited.
Yep. Chucky Cheeks signs himself a 3-year, $14.7 million contract with the Bruins as an average annual value of $4.9 million a year. Wow. Because I know the market value for him, people were saying, was almost $7 million, somewhere between $6.5 million, $7 million. And Don Sweeney obviously seemed very happy there. Charlie McAvoy has got to also be glad. And he kept saying that he wanted to stay here and he wanted to be a guy. He wanted to stay with the Bruins and he would take it somewhat of a discount. And this is kind of a perfect bridge contract, and he seems extremely happy about that this part's done with.
I'm just really excited to get back now. Now I get committed to, you know, not that I haven't, but now I get to focus on my conditioning and my execution and getting back to being the best player I can be for the start of the season. You know, and we have, you know, we have a lot of motivation this year, you know, obviously to just win one more game than last year. So, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of, you know, myself, but I think we are you know, I'm motivated. I know, you know, I know everyone is, and I'm just really excited to be back.
Great news about it too is that because it's such a team-friendly deal, it more than likely leaves space to sign Brandon Carlo.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, and that's what Sweeney said. I still want Krug.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they can do it financially. I don't know.
I was looking online at the cap number. They have a lot of cap room next year.
Yeah.
And maybe they can get Krug done. I mean, you have to worry about DeBrusk, who's going to be a restricted free agent next year. But he and Krug, it looks like, I mean, I'm optimistic that they might actually be able to fit both in. I don't know how that would mess them up for 2, 3, 4 years from now.
If you could get Krug in somehow, I mean, Don Sweeney's worked miracles. I mean, think about it.
He's also saddled him with some bad contracts. I mean, he got Bulleski.
Yeah, he hasn't been perfect.
No, and he got Backus.
He's done good work, and he's done bad work.
Yeah, well, he was executive of the year last year.
Yes.
He has made some very, very expensive mistakes. So
Bulleski's at least wasn't expensive, but it was long.
It was sure. It was expensive enough.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass.
Did he work the Brad Marchand deal? Yeah, and Pastrnak, too. Yes. So those are both team-friendly deals when you take a look at them. So
look what Mitch Marner just signed for.
Yeah.
I mean, 7 years and $77 million. Some crazy number.
That team is going to be so funny.
Pastrnak is just as good as Marner is.
That team is going to be hysterical because there's going to be three all-world players and a bunch of crap.
That's what happened in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's exactly what happened in Chicago.
Yeah, but Chicago had the hardware.
No, I understand.
No, you're right,
but it's the same
thing.
But
it's just like
look where Chicago is now.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, you know, it worked for a while. Now, now it's just
going to be. They got their three, and now they're done.
Yeah, yep. Toronto gets none.
Which is great.
Yeah, they're not going to get anything.
Which is great to itself.
Oh, yeah.
All those scarf-wearing fans stand out on the plaza for a fourth-place team. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, the Bruins are a far better team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have three, like, all-world players, and then it's going to be a bunch of junk.
Think about it, though. If McAvoy is worth less than $5 million a season, Sweeney can go to Carlo and go, look, I have $3 million in cap space. I'm more than willing to use most of it on you. Look at what Charlie got.
Yep.
I think that's pretty much your slot number. You want another bridge deal? Here's 3 years and $9 million. Yeah, how can Carlo say no to that?
Just how many stars can he point at and go, team-friendly?
Yes.
Team-friendly. Team friendly.
Nobody on this team's friendly. Making $8 million.
Yep.
Or he could, yeah, and also I'm sure they told McAvoy, you know, when this is up, you'll be in your prime.
Yep.
Who knows?
24, right? Isn't he? He's 21 now, right?
Yes.
So it's a 3 year. Yeah.
Yes.
He's 24.
And we'll have more cap room then. We're more than happy to jack this up.
Yep. Totally. Yeah.
So, brilliant.
I mean, it works for him in the long run as well.
So Zdeno Chara posted on Instagram a little post of him walking out in the practice ice, but not before giving McAvoy a big hug. And underneath it, he wrote, walk this way, just give me a hug.
Yeah, and then McAvoy's out for 2 months because he hugged Chara. Yeah, all right, Rich, what's coming up?
I'm worried about our friend Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, I don't even know what. I'm missing everything. I don't know about Okasik.
I don't know what that's about either.
Okay.
I don't know about Okasik dying. I knew the money man died because I had 5 million people tell me. But, all right, let's find out what he's talking about.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Did you read the article this weekend where Bob Hohler sat down with David Ortiz?
Yeah.
And he kind of spoke for the first time. He didn't really get into too many details that we didn't already know. But just what he went through in the hospital, and he illustrated it in pretty graphic detail, I mean, seemed harrowing. It almost seemed like the scarier part wasn't even him first being shot. It was the infection that he got, I think, 3 weeks afterwards, in which he had to eat ice chips and only ice chips for, I think, they said 17 days. It was funny because when Mary got sick, there was a period where I think she went over 3 weeks and she didn't eat any food. It was just eating ice chips. And he said something in the article that's exactly the thing Mary said, is that he would wake up in the middle of the night having nightmares that he was in a desert and his mouth was so dry. They said it's even worse than the actual pain, is your mouth being so unbelievably dry that your tongue, it becomes painful almost. And he said that of all the things, I mean, think about it, you're shot and they're removing parts of your body, and the thing that you find the most painful is your mouth not being, it being completely dry. So he talked about that. He also talked about how he got Ed Davis, hired to look for what really happened. He says he doesn't know any of the people that have been accused and have been, pinpointed and fingered by the people down in the Dominican Republic. And he also doesn't understand why anyone would want to kill his friend that he was eating with. And all of these things are very strange. He blew off any kind of, I guess Bob Hohler talked to him about, he just said tabloid rumors, didn't mention anything about there being a mistress. But he said he completely dismissed all of that as well. But my question is that when Ed Davis finds out what he finds, is that going to be public knowledge or is that just for David Ortiz?
I would think it's just before Ortiz.
Yeah, if it's just like a private investigator.
Yeah.
I guess
this is not one of those things. All right, Ed, whenever you find who it is, I want you to call the Boston Globe. I want to make sure you call the Herald and get this out there.
Well, I think he would do that if it was something that didn't make him look bad.
Right, like, if it's a governmental conspiracy, that's right. One thing. But I think Ortiz just wants answers for him.
Right. And I don't know. Can you press charges based on a private investigator?
Sure.
Well, if you hand it over to the Dominican police, I think things are a little different than if you hand it to authorities up here.
Right.
Yeah.
Never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, interesting. But another thing that I found very interesting that happened over the weekend was Rob Gronkowski, who, of course, we love and seems to be having the time of his life now that he is out of the game. He was at the Seaport this weekend dancing around with his brothers Gronk and his girlfriend, the Backstreet Boys, a video that ended up going viral. But if you remember, last week he sat down with the people from CBS and said this.
I will let my son play football, but first off, I will educate him on the game. Educate him on what I went through. And I truly believe that anything, any injury that you receive is fixable, though. I mean, I went through it. I had 9 surgeries. Probably had 20 concussions in my life. Like, no lie. Probably I remember 5 blackout ones.
You had a pint of blood drained from your body after the Super Bowl because of internal bleeding.
Yes, because of internal bleeding. But like I said, I'm fixed.
Okay, which obviously
20 concussions. You don't have any idea if you're fixed or not.
Well, that's the thing. That's I think anybody who hears that with a rational brain or someone
who's gone through it,
yeah,
is going to be like, you don't even know. Yeah. I mean, you don't know what the long-term effects of that are.
So obviously after making that statement on CBS, people were reaching out to him on Twitter, including, I wasn't here this day, but Mike tells me that this guy, Chris Nowinski, came in with Ted Johnson when they were talking about concussions. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so he's like a guy who knows everything there is to know.
He's the guy
about
who
CTE.
Was the original guy.
Okay.
Right. He's the original guy who spearheaded the effort at BU, sure.
So he tweeted Rob Gronkowski and said, Rob, I appreciate and respect that you have the guts to talk honestly about concussions and CTE, but right now, CTE cannot be fixed, and I invite your help in changing that. And Rob Gronkowski retweeted it and said, it is fixable. I fixed mine. There are plenty of methods in this world that allow the brain to recover from severe damage. That is also why I would allow my kids to play football.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Once again, that's somewhat troubling. So Mike Giardi ended up retweeting that tweet and said, to this point, I don't believe there's one study that backs Gronk's statement. Rob Gronkowski retweets that and says, I agree. I'm not saying I cured it. I'm saying that I put in the time, the effort, and willingness to find unconventional methods to improve my conditions.
All right, I don't want to make light of this, but one of them was he put together a puzzle. I mean, when he was talking on one of these things about CBD, he's like, you know, and I'm working on my brain. I got a 700-piece puzzle at home. Like, doing puzzles is not going to fix a concussion.
He put, sometimes the answers are not found in studies like this case. Anyone who isn't willing to improve and think outside the box will just stay the same. I want to grow. That still doesn't... You see, I think what happened here is that he's been on this tour talking about how the CBD oil has helped him feel 100% again.
Yes.
But the one thing that he didn't realize when he was talking is that having physical pain within your muscles and your bones and your aching that you have is completely different from brain damage.
Yeah, the guy who's been advising him brilliantly throughout his career must have had the day off.
Well, no, because he's doing the CBD stuff.
I understand that, but I mean, he's said all the right things and done all the right things, and this is just a horrible misstep.
Well, I mean, he just jumped on Twitter, and I think
he believes it.
Yeah,
I really do, but I don't know how you're going to cure bruising in your brain.
Even if you believe this to be the case, and you believe it's fixable. I mean, it would take 5 minutes, maybe 10 at most, to look around. I mean, there are so many people suffering from so many different things as a result of this. It's not difficult to find. It's just a bad mistake by a guy who's been brilliant public relation-wise through his entire career.
Robel, hello.
Just a quick question. Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Would you say that the vocab used on those tweets you just read are too extensive for Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah. I mean, there was part of me that thought maybe somebody he was working with did that. But even that, like, why would anybody write that?
Right.
And I know he said, I agree, and I'm not saying I cured it. Well, I mean,
I think it's the CBD stuff. I think that part of the CBD and pushing it is that you can fix your brain and put together a 700-piece puzzle.
See, I think
which he did say.
Well,
he said, "I've been working on my brain. I've been working on my brain. I have a 700-piece puzzle." To that, I would say, every old person is free and clear because they're putting together a bunny rabbit puzzles. So, I mean, he doesn't know.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I think that he was just saying the company tagline,
yes,
and applied it to his brain, which you're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah. Dan makes a good point. Maybe this is a TB12 thing, where they say they have concussion sauce.
Well,
that you can rub on your brain.
Which,
and
once again, they've been in trouble for that, and they had to retract.
Yes, they're
their
in trouble for it because there's nothing that exists that can cure that. Once you have it. And every brain they study seems to have severe CTE. So what are you going
to
do?
See, I think that he also tried to hedge it, but he didn't. He should have said, I misstated it. I'm treating it. Like, because you can treat something like that, figure out a way to live with it and a way to maybe lessen the effects of it, but you can't fix it. And he used the word, it's fixable, and he even said it in the clip there too. So not only did he say it, but he wrote it. So somebody needs to talk to Rob. Rob, we're worried about you, my man.
Yeah, whoever, come back from vacation. Come back from the Bahamas and save your client.
All right. No commercials here, but the headlines, we'll be talking to Mike Flynn.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.